Is your project on the brink of failure because you are ignoring those silent killers? Discover these stakeholder management secrets that can make or break your next big initiative. Are you ready to transform from chaos into collaboration? What if I told you the success of a project hinges on people you haven't really even considered yet? In today's episode, I'm going to reveal game-changing stakeholder management techniques that top project managers use to turn their, watch this family, potential adversaries into allies. These are not just theories. We don't do that here. We're going to talk about battle-tested strategies that you can use in the real world. You mind if I share a story with you? See, I realized how important stakeholder management was, and it was by accident. When I say by accident, meaning that I had a project that came up, and what we didn't do collectively, or I'll take full accountability here, I didn't do effectively was identify the stakeholders that were required for this project. And so I moved forward with the resources that I thought that we needed and the project team as well as the stakeholders. And then we got ready to submit a change to move forward, and a stakeholder halted everything. It impacted our schedule, it impacted our cost, it definitely impacted our scope, and then eventually the quality of the project. And ever since then, I told myself, matter of fact, I told the team, we will never experience this again. We are going to do the, we're going to perform the proper measures in ensuring that first, we get the proper stakeholders in place. Second, that we align the stakeholders. And most of all, that we're going to ensure that we lead with a collaborative mindset and not a silo mindset. I share that brief story with you, family, to help you realize the importance of today's episode. So let's just jump right into the different points. Point number one, identify stakeholders early and often. Again, identify stakeholders early and often. Listen, early stakeholder identification ensures that potential influences and impacts, you remember what I shared with you previously, are considered from the project's outset. This reduces the risk of overlooking critical perspectives or encountering unsuspected opposition later. Actionable item. Organize a cross-functional workshop in the first week of the project. What I would recommend using something like a stakeholder onion diagram. What this technique does is identify stakeholders on every different level, from core teams to extended teams, even the external influencers. Document these findings in a digital stakeholder register, and I recommend using tools. I've used Smartsheets. You could use Excel. But again, you want to do this early and often. Let's move on to point number two. Develop a stakeholder onboarding and offboarding process. Structure processes for introducing new stakeholders and transitioning out of departing ones to ensure continuity and maintaining engagement levels. Family, there's a motto out there called the Bruce Tuckman model. And the basis of the motto is every time that you introduce a new project team member, a new stakeholder to the actual project, you have to really start over from beginning. In the Bruce Tuckman model, it's forming, storming, norming, performing, and a journey. If just imagining you're at the almost at the journey standpoint and you introduce a new resource, you have to start from beginning. ED, why do we have to start from the beginning of this? Great question. The reason why is because, family, now you have a new personality. You have a resource that has come on board that may have their way of dealing with particular problems or how we should do a particular activity and or task. So you want to make sure that they are aligned of what the project, how the project will be moving forward. One of the recommendations that I recommend is developing like a stakeholder onboarding and offboarding checklist. You can, again, I'll keep it very simple just in case you don't have these tools like Smartsheets and things of that nature. Again, a simple Excel document. And this basically document would be including steps for initially for the briefing aspect of, hey, this is what this project is about, the system access, and also introducing key stakeholders and knowledge transfer. Have you ever been on a project that you're leading or part of and one of your stakeholders leaves and there is no transfer of information? And what we call that is basically tribal information. So when that tribal information leaves, now you're stuck trying to figure out and pick up the pieces of where they left off because there was no real good firm handshake verbally as well as written of saying, hey, these are the things you need to do since I'm leaving the organization. And I would always say assign a team member to manage this process for each new or departing stakeholder. Let's move on to point number three. Conduct regular stakeholder expectation alignment. Listen, when you are leading a project, you have to understand your stakeholders' expectation. A lot of frustration comes from the lack of expectation. I may have a certain expectation for this project. Another stakeholder may have another expectation. The project team may have another expectation. So all of these different expectations, if we're not aligned on the expectations of this project, then you're gonna have disgruntled stakeholders. And what that leads to is impacting your triple constraints. And most of all, it's really gonna, out of those triple constraints, your schedule is gonna be the one that's gonna be impacted. So let's say you have a project that is gonna last for a year. I would recommend doing quarterly expectation alignment workshops. You can do this actually on your weekly meetings that you have and say, okay, we're at that quarterly mark. How about we just have an expectation alignment, just making sure that everybody's expectations are still aligned, that we have a better understanding of what's going on. What I would recommend too, on top of that, if your organization allows it, I would use something like a mirror board, M-I-R-O, a mirror board. This really will create a type of fun atmosphere in a sense, because now you're getting people, all the people to come to this mirror board. And what they'll be able to do is you'll be able to create a visual board with sections of the project goals, the timelines, the key deliverables, and known issues. I would also have stakeholders add their expectations and concerns, then facilitate a discussion to align on any type of discrepancies that you actually see with coming from this particular exercise. Let's move on to point number four. Create a stakeholder responsibility assignment matrix. You want to clearly define stakeholders' responsibilities for different project aspects, because one of the biggest things I've noticed, even projects I've led, is you want to reduce the confusion as much as possible. And also you want to be able to ensure that you can hold people accountable. So there's no gaps in accountability. There's no gaps in, hey, what should I be working on? What should I be doing? You align that. One of the simplest artifacts that's out there and one of the artifacts that you could apply is called a RACI. A RACI is a responsible, the acronym stands for responsible, accountable, consult, and inform. Again, you can use an Excel document to really put this together. And you want to be able to list the project activities or deliverables down on a, so for example, you'll have the activities or deliverables on the left side. Then at the top, you will have all the different people that will be participating in this project. And you want to just use each one of those acronym letters. So for instance, if I have a task to say schedule meeting and I'm the project manager, then I know that I'm responsible for that, or I could use accountable. But really leveraging those acronyms will help you and the stakeholders understand what is actually going on within the project. And we can always refer to that. And if there's anything that shifts or changes, meaning a stakeholder leaves or gets promoted, anything of that nature, you want to update that particular matrix, because all it is really a matrix. And again, real high level recap, saying the deliverables and tasks on one side, at the top of it, the matrix, you will have the project teams. And then inside of the actual document, you will have different letters from that acronym of RACI. And you know what, family, I may do a RACI training so you can see what that will look like from a visual standpoint. And I think that will really help a lot of people out. If you're interested in that training, leave me a comment. I'll definitely do something for you regarding that. Let's move on to point number 5. This right here is very important. Message, if you're new to the episode, anytime I say message, this is where you want to lock in. You need to pay attention. And when I say you need to pay attention, I truly mean that, because this is one of the things where a majority of projects fail. This is why I documented that in this book called The Magnetic Project Manager. Today's point today is point number 5, appropriate communication channels. Listen, different stakeholders vary in preference of how they want to receive information. When you use the right channels, it truly ensures that the message are received, understood, and acted upon effectively. I've worked with stakeholders where they don't want to see emails. They're like, I get a bunch of emails as it is. Could you send me a Slack message, or could you send me a team message? They would prefer that. And some would say, still send me the email, but could you let me know? Because I want to make sure that I prioritize your emails as first. And that's what you want to hear, because that's good for you. Here's an actionable item for you to think about. Conduct a brief communication preference survey. You can use things like SurveyMonkey, Google Forms, and ask stakeholders for their rank of preferred channels, i.e., for instance, like I stated, Slack, Teams, face-to-face meetings, video call, project management type software. And you will realize that using this type of approach, the communication will really improve across all cross-functional areas. Let's move on to point number 6. Understand stakeholders' interests as well as their influence. Mapping stakeholders' interests and influences helps prioritize engagement efforts and tailor communication strategies, ensuring efficient and effective use of project resources. Here's an actionable item. Create what they call a power interest grid in a collaborative tool. Again, I'll talk about Miro, and plot out each stakeholder on a grid basis on the level of their interest and influence. By using this visual representation, what it does for you, family, is it determines engagement priorities and strategies for each stakeholder group. And again, if this is something you would like me to go in more in depth of actually doing a training around that, please leave a comment and let me know, and I'll definitely do that for you. Let's move on to point number 7. Monitor stakeholder, I got a little excited, I apologize. Monitor stakeholder engagement. Listen, regular monitoring of stakeholder engagement helps adjust strategies in real time, ensuring that we are still aligned between stakeholder needs and project goals. Quick story, I realized how important this was, because sometimes when you're leading a long project, meaning over 6 months, sometimes your stakeholders will have a tendency to show a lack of interest. And when they start showing a lack of interest, you need to in real time, okay, say, what do we need to do? How can we make sure that they're engaged and they know what's going on? That is just not, all right, here comes another project status report. So here's an actionable item. Create a monthly stakeholder engagement scorecard using, I'm going to recommend, tools like an Excel or definitely like Power BI, including these different matrix. When you're actually in your weekly or daily, whatever your meeting cadence or frequency looks like, and you want to be able to create a score to understand how are they participating and what is the support level month over month. Trust me, because you may start losing people, and you need to ensure that you can align with people to get them back onto the direction that we're going in. Let's move on to point number 8, educate stakeholders. I'm going to tell you time and time again, a well-informed stakeholder can provide more valuable input than a non-educated stakeholder. They make better decisions when they're educated, and they're more likely, and I use the word more likely, to support the project through the entire life cycle. One of the things I would recommend as an actionable tip, develop a project knowledge base. You could use things like a Microsoft SharePoint, wherever you house a lot of your information. I would recommend creating like a knowledge base where you can have, let's say, key concepts, FAQs, your decision logs or your RAID logs, and basically the project backlog. This will really help the project as you're leading it forward. Let's move on to your bonuses today. I got 2 for you, and then I'll close with my closing remarks. Handle conflicts professionally. When you have to address conflicts as a project manager, I always recommend that you want to handle conflicts properly and professionally. You could say P&P, properly and professionally, and maintain a positive project environment, because if you don't maintain a positive project environment, minor disagreements can escalate into major things. They always say the little small things that you don't address can turn into bigger things down the line, because somebody could explode or get frustrated because of the little small thing that wasn't addressed earlier. So actionable item, I would recommend scheduling one-on-ones with your stakeholders. Now, if you have a bigger, let's say a stakeholder quorum, you're probably going to have to maybe do it by groups based on the what they're working on. So here's a good example. Let's say you have a quorum of stakeholders, you have applications, infrastructure, cybersecurity. I would just group all of those together and have one big call to figure out what are some of the conflicts. Because normally the application team is never fighting with the application team. It could be the application team having a disagreement with the infrastructure team, or the infrastructure team having a disagreement with the cybersecurity or informational security team. So you want to be able to create these type of pockets of one-on-ones or group calls. Preferably, I would recommend one-on-ones calls, because you get more value out of it. People feel a little bit more comfortable telling you what is actually going on, because they know there are no external forces really invading how they really feel. They can really be honest, especially if you're good at not repeating what you said, but finding ways to actually solve some of the discrepancies and or issues that they're up against. Let's move on to my last and final bonus, family. I wanted to go some more, but I'll maybe do a deep dive on that as well. Develop stakeholder specific key performance indicators. Customizing key performance indicators, or AKA KPIs, for different stakeholder groups. Ensure you're measuring what counts, what matters to each group. And this improves the relevance, and also the biggest thing that you need, which is engagement. Again, I'm going to fall back to my one-on-one sessions with key stakeholder representatives, because you want to make sure that you're addressing their top 3 to 5 priorities. And by doing this, you can get them aligned. Let's go to my closing remarks, and I'll let you be on your way. My first closing remark: identify stakeholders earlier. I told you a story about how I failed to do that at the beginning of my career. And there's been many times, even in my many years, that sometimes I'll forget that principle and the impact that it had on the actual project. So I'm recommending to you is to basically what you want to do is identify key stakeholders early and often. Point number two, use appropriate communication channels. Like I stated, this was when I stopped in the middle of what I was going to say and I said message. And the reason why I said that is because different stakeholders really truly like to be communicated different ways. Don't just use a one size fit all. A one size fit all to me is, oh, I'm just going to send an email and going about my way. No. You need to find out what works for different team members. I know it's extra work, but this is why you're here, because you want to be exceptional. And the last and final point is handle conflicts professionally. Remember, I used the word P&P. You want to be do it promptly as well as professionally, because again, small little things can turn into major issues, when if you would address the small thing, the bigger things probably wouldn't have happened. They would have been more adept to want to work with you and be more engaged in the actual project. Family, I go by the name of ED. Again, for all you smart and intelligent folks, that just simply means Ed. And I thank you today for allowing me to talk about today's episode around stakeholder management. Until next time, my slogan, I'm out.